Welcome back to the e-commerce AI, the revenue revolution. Now today we have Ari joining us here. For those of you who are new to this podcast, he's the CEO of Bridgeline, and we are joined by Sammy. She's a business major at Michigan Ross, here to discuss the contrast between business education and the tech industry's demands. So today they're going to cover things like University Club's role in career development, the Michigan Ross curriculum, and the realities of mergers and acquisitions for growth. So this episode sort of bridges the gap between the classroom and real-world business practices. So we're going to go ahead and kick this off with Ari and Sammy, and I will let you guys get to it.
Great. Thank you, Victoria. Okay. Well, Sammy and I started speaking about investment banking, maybe 3 months ago, like November. And what blew me away was that Sammy, freshman at University of Michigan Ross School of Business, knew what investment banking was in a business program in undergrad, and had a subspecialty of investment banking. So at Bridgeline, one of the things that we've been focused on for the past couple of years is mergers and acquisitions. We're in an overpopulated space that has structural challenges for small companies in terms of access to capital, because it's overpopulated, there's insufficient bankers to provide capital. And because our industry is SaaS software, you fundamentally have heavy upfronted marketing and sales costs that are only paid back by your sales over literally multiple years. And as a consequence, consolidation is a natural fit. Everybody is running processes. You've got the East Coast and the West Coast lingo and M&A going on. So Sammy and I started speaking about this, and it blew me away. One, that we have a program, University of Michigan, doing this. Two, undergrads are in that program. And three, right out of the gate, people like Sammy are knowing about this and getting interested in it. So let's just kind of get right into how this even got started over at University of Michigan, because we certainly didn't have business majors when I was in school in undergrad, let alone subspecialties. So tell us about Ross. Tell us about how you even discovered it, what the recruiting process is, and then we'll get into what day-to-day life is and what the classes are and the extracurricular and so forth. But tell us the upfront part.
Yes, awesome. So I am actually a BBA master for Ross, so we can cover the curriculum and stuff to more detailed way of looking into it. So Ross is a BBA program, so Bachelor's in Business Administration. It's broad-based, which basically means all the students, so every student who's in Ross, we're all getting the same degree, Bachelor's in Business Administration, and then we have concentrations, which allows us to take classes in different things. So I'll take finance classes and marketing classes, accounting, a wide range, strategy classes. So I take a wide range of classes, and then I have a specific concentration where I can take electives that focus more on that concentration, so I can go into a specific industry. But with my degree, I still have the opportunity that I can explore different things because I was able to take classes and have a curriculum that exposed me to so many different opportunities.
Curious. So in terms of those concentrations, like, how do you even find out what the different concentrations are and what your interests would be in your first year of undergrad? How do they introduce you to these?
Yes. So normally they want you to have a structured concentration. Your sophomore year is where they really push it onto you, where you need to kind of declare what you want to go into, because that's when recruiting starts. As a freshman, I'm in only two classes in Ross right now. So I'm in a BA 100 class, which is just Business Administration 100. And then I'm in BCom, Business Communications 250, which is where we learn how to write professional emails, how to communicate professionally. So learning how to do presentations, write reports, analyze cases. So I'm only in two different classes right now, and they're more focused on how is leadership defined, how is teamwork defined, looking at whether they're making ethical decisions or not, different industries. So it's kind of just a way to get you into an idea of what maybe you want to do, what interests you the most. And then for sophomore year, I have a couple sophomore friends, and they're taking accounting classes, finance classes, marketing classes, and that's where they're getting a better idea of the academic standpoint. But then knowing your concentration, what industry you're going into, that's where you have to actually work in the real world, which is where the clubs, the extracurriculars, all of that comes in.
The clubs. So I've heard that word come up several times. I know that in master's programs and MBA programs, you often have clubs and you've got a lot of networking focus and internships and things like that. What's going on with clubs at Ross?
Yes. So Ross is very, very club heavy. There's two different times of club recruitment. We have fall semester and then winter semester. So at the beginning of each semester, there is about 2 to 3 weeks that's cut out in the semester that is specifically just club recruiting. So you have literally every type of club there is. There's real estate clubs, investment clubs, consulting clubs, fashion clubs, environment. There's just so many different opportunities. And then you also have the business the professional fraternities, which in general, the University of Michigan has an insane amount of clubs, you can join. But in Ross is where you'll see like the professional the business fraternities come into play.
So is there like hazing or fraternity style kind of recruiting thing that goes on? What?
So
hazing's a bad word in college now. I know there's
not. Yes. So that does not happen here. We have something called BBA Council, which is the student government inside of Ross. And they create regulations with the clubs because they are so, it's such a stressful process, and they only take some analyst classes for clubs only take 8 people, and there's maybe 200 people who apply. So it's a very, very rigorous process, just getting into the clubs. Once the clubs and the fraternities are a little bit different, we can kind of break it down. I'm in a professional fraternity, so I can talk about my personal experience with that. And then I have friends who are in clubs, and I can also walk you through my club process as well, recruiting this past semester. But we can start fraternities. So with the fraternities, it's general professional development. So I joined last semester, my first semester of my freshman year. And it is just, I say it's depending on the type of fraternity too. There's so many. I think there's at least 6 of them. There's, I think, maybe 6 to 9 that are Ross affiliated. The one I'm in is actually Ross only. So only Ross students can join. Some of the other ones, other majors, you could be a pre-med major and join a business fraternity. It's just if you're interested in business or not. But the one I'm in is BBA majors only. But I would say the process taught me so much. And I think just learning how to write a resume is something that is the step one of the process as you're professionally developing. I had no idea that a resume was, I knew what it was, but like I was a 18-year-old coming into college, no idea what any of this was. That was the first step, was building a resume. And I did a lot of coffee chats, which they teach you a lot, because even though they can be more casual, you learn how to write professional emails, how to do networking calls with each other. And I don't know if you remember, Ari, but you actually, you set me up with one of your mentors, and we did a networking call.
Yeah. Brandon Ross, and Greg Gunner.
Yes, exactly. Brandon Ross. Yeah. And I would have never known how to reach out to someone professionally, email someone, and have a professional networking call if it weren't for what my business fraternity actually taught me. And even the upperclassmen too, I think I owe a lot of my professional development from this past semester to the upperclassmen in the organization who helped me, just because they took the time to meet with me outside of class and walk me through how to do behavioral interview, how to do technicals, so how to case for club recruitment, just practicing technicals and things like that, which is something that I would have never known that I needed to do as a freshman. That just made me feel so prepared already. And even starting this position with Bridgeline, felt so much more prepared after going through that professional development experience.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, right? I mean, coming right out of high school, you'd have no sense how to interact and to engage with somebody in a business scenario or to just jump into a company and start contributing right away. So is it competitive? Do they only have a certain number of spots, or do
you want yes. to yes. yes. So they, yeah, so it is definitely, I was not expecting, I was told going into the recruiting process, and honestly, you have to enter it with a positive mindset because it is a very competitive process. I mean, for recruiting that we just did for this past semester, there's hundreds of people who apply, and you only take around 20. That's for the fraternities, where the clubs, there are hundreds of people who apply and they only take about 10 people. Some of them take less. Some of them take, there's one club that only took 3 people or 4 people or something. Which is insane. It is absolutely insane. The process. So for the fraternity perspective, we have first round, which is basically you have an actual application that you have to do. Ours is more fun. We have a slideshow. It showcases just you have the professional part of it. And then it also showcases, you know, what you love to do, like funny, fun facts about yourself, because at the end of the day, you want to join a fraternity to have professional development, but it's also for your community, which is my favorite. Obviously, I love the professional development part of it, but the community and the people that I'm surrounded by every day is the best part. So it is more social. So there is an application process. And then if you get through that first round of applications, then there are normally interviews. So you have an interview process, and which is kind of where they just evaluate how you think about businesses, how do you think about a business. For my fraternity, we have a case, and which this past recruitment process, it was on Marriott, and it was just, they give you like the lineup of questions of what they're going to ask. They just want to see what you're thinking on the issues that are happening with the company, what you think is the future of the company. And they want to see your overall perspective, because just to see why. And then you have the interview process, and then there's just like events where you network with people. It's really networking heavy. So yes, okay. You could be an academic, you could be very academic and you have a great GPA, but if you're not vibing with the people, if the people in the organization aren't vibing with you, then it's not gonna work out, because it is social at the end of the day.
Well, that's how it is in the real business world as well. So if you're in a, you know, you could be a top performer inside of a company, and if you're not connecting with other people in the company, the overall team's just not going to be as productive.
Yes.
Everybody was vibing, as you put it, with each other.
Exactly, exactly. So with the club process, that's a little bit similar, but also different. They're not as networking heavy. Yes, you want to obviously go to all the events that they have during their recruitment process and meet a bunch of people, but they also, they really want to see where you are academically. So for example, I applied to consulting clubs this semester, and we can actually, here, let's actually break down the different clubs that Ross has. The two biggest ones I would say are going to be your finance clubs and then your consulting clubs. So the finance clubs, they have funds. Normally they're about $25,000, and you make pitch decks. And as an analyst, you're pitching pitch decks for them to potentially things that they can put in their fund. You want whatever you're pitching to be in their fund.
There's a couple of money in the fund?
Yes, real money.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yes, so right. There's a real money. Yeah, so they're real money that they use, and some of them are in some of them. It's just your classic stocks, and you're like the classic stocks. Others, it's alternative. So there's a bunch of different types of the finance clubs that are very interesting. That depending on what you want to focus in. And they have different desks too, so it's not so they have a diversified portfolio, but it is real money, which is very cool. And then you look at the consulting clubs, and they have multiple projects that they work on where they actually consult with real companies. So it's local to Fortune 500 companies, which is you have real world experience where you're working on real team, like you're working with people in your club. I think there's around five people-ish, depending on the team. Each club works differently, though. And, yeah, you're working with real companies.
Wow. Wow. So a company, a Fortune 500 company, so Ford Motors, has a consulting arrangement with Ross and has a group of whatever, five people consulting on whatever, a marketing program that they're study that they're doing or, you know, whatever.
So not necessarily Ford. I don't know like the specifics just because I'm not in a club. I get what you mean. I don't know if it's Ford specifically, but yes, that's the idea of it. I couldn't name like the company names just because I'm not working with them. But yes, that's exactly what it is. Some of the clubs do, there are like payment processes that go along with it, but most of them are just, it's basically like volunteering your time where you're learning because you are a student at the end of the day. I don't have any consulting experience in real life. So,
well, I don't know. I'm pretty impressed. I think that Ford or whomever it has to at least do a donation over to a university. They're going to get some free labor from
Michigan gets enough money.
Yeah, well, that is true.
The beautiful, yeah, the amazing building that I'm sitting in right now is one of those. But
in fact, shifting gears just a little bit. So the Ross building is amazing. When I went into Ross a couple of months ago for my first time, I felt like I was walking into a Fortune 500, and not a Fortune 500, like a Fortune 5 company. This is like I'm walking into Google. Conference rooms everywhere. State of the art, everything. Social spaces that are open, just like if you're going to, you know, to Google, for example. And that must just blow students away. Now, you help in terms of the recruiting, right? You're an ambassador?
Correct.
Tell us about the ambassadorship and the wooing process to get the elite students to join Ross.
Yeah. So I'll kind of start with why I ended up coming here, because I feel like that's one of the reasons why I also applied to be an ambassador. So I'm from Ann Arbor. So Michigan here, everyone's obsessed with Michigan. And I wanted to like totally leave the state, get out of here, go to New York. And I applied to Ross, got in, which was amazing. And the first time I walked into this building, like this, the building was literally the reason why I mean, obviously it's a great school. Like that was of course a component, but the building, the atmosphere, we have something called the Winter Garden, which is, I don't know if you remember when you came visited, but it's like through the main entrance, huge skylight. That's all natural light. And there's just a bunch of tables everywhere and everyone sits and chats and it's the social scene. And when you walk in there, there's always people in suits. There's always something going on in Ross. That is the one thing. There's always something going on here. There's always a recruiter. People have interviews all the time. It was the atmosphere in the building because just walking in, it's like everyone's just so motivated. And I felt it already. I was like, wow, like everyone here is going places. This is crazy. I didn't even meet anyone. And I walked in and I just felt the vibe, which as a student here, I see it every single day. I mean, I have friends who every day I hear about a new interview that they're getting or another opportunity that they're trying to go for, a new goal. There's always something. And that's also why I wanted to be an ambassador. So as a student, you tour, and Ross has BBA ambassadors, which the university has tour guides and people you can talk to. But with Ross specifically, they really focus on that student experience, because the student experience is ultimately, they're such a great school that at the end of the day, like, you want the student wants to know, like, what's happening in the school, what is going on, what's the process like, how do you like it, like, what's your experience? And that's what the BBA ambassadors are for. So I applied to be BBA ambassador, and I'm currently in training right now, but I will start officially working in March, which is really cool. So I'll be doing tours for the incoming students. So we have our first campus day, March 8th, I believe. So that will be our first wave of students who just got in a week ago, something like that. So that first wave of students that got admitted will be here touring the school, talking to me and my coworkers, my peers, and they get to see the whole building, hear about all the amazing things, and see the really cool art that's all around Ross. That's also an amazing thing about the building. Every day, the school amazes me. That is one thing.
Well, I'll tell you something. Just that environment definitely introduces you to what it's like to be in a top growing, exciting company. When I walk into these companies that are blowing it out at Facebook and Microsoft, which has still been going strong, and even Bloomberg in the city, and you get these giant natural light atriums, and you have these conference rooms all over the place where people are jumping in and doing video calls, and you have people dressed to the nines, and you know they're going to some killer meeting, and they're coming back from a killer meeting that they just crushed it at, and people are just achieving left and right. You feel the energy. And it can be intimidating and overwhelming, but at Ross, you're like becoming acclimated to that at 18 years old.
It's insane. It is insane. I mean, like, what am I? This is crazy that I'm on the phone with you right now, that we're filming this. Yeah, it is insane. But there's also controversy with that part as well, because at 19 years old now, a lot of people think, you know, I mean, for me, this is more of a personal decision that I wanted to do an internship this summer. Obviously, it's not everyone does a freshman internship, and you don't have to do one. It's more of a personal choice at that point. But the recruitment process here is insane. Even the academic process, because our curve is very interesting as well. It just makes it a lot harder to get good grades, because they make a curve with the classes where only a certain percentage can get an A. So it doesn't matter what, if I have a 98 in the class, but if everyone else is in that really, really high, a 98, I guess, is pushing it. If I have a 93 maybe in a class, and everyone else is also very high up, I may not get the A that I actually have in the percentage grade. So that is one thing that throws people off, is a lot of people struggle with their, you know, it's harder. It's very hard to have a high GPA, because a lot of people are just getting Bs and in their classes because of this curve. And then there's the recruiting process, which, no matter what, you're always going to feel behind. I mean, I have sophomore friends who are going into banking, and one of my sophomore friends, he's working banking this summer, but he's working sales and trading his junior year. He already has his junior year internship, and he's a sophomore. He got it 2 weeks ago. For junior summer, so 2025.
Almost a year and a half before.
Exactly. A year and a half before, people are knowing where they're going to be working. And it's also, there's not necessarily where you're officially going to be working, but in most cases, your junior year summer internship, people are hoping that they're going to get that return offer to come back. They're seeing, mm-hmm. you know, the next year as an official full-time employee. So it's definitely controversial, because especially with investment banking, because the banks want to recruit early. They want to know who's working there. They want to be ahead of the game. And with these top schools, it's just getting earlier and earlier and earlier.
And in business, a lot of times, you know, a secondary degree is not the most efficient way to hitting it big. So I wonder how often people just go right into a career after a BBA versus go for an MBA. Do you have any idea what the percentages are there and whether it's higher or lower at Michigan than at a different school?
Yes. So I'm not exactly sure about the percentages, but it is talked about, like, not a decent amount, but they do say that with Ross, that the BBA curriculum is, some of the stuff that we do with the BBA curriculum is really similar to the Ross MBA curriculum. They do say that if you did BBA at Ross, you don't necessarily need to do MBA just because of how they go about certain processes and the more basic classes, like my BA 100 class, and as that gets like to BA 200, BA 300, so on, capstone project, something we do where you work with businesses. So there's certain things that are really similar to the MBA program. So they don't necessarily recommend that you do the MBA program here right after. A lot of people don't, at least from people that I know who are seniors now or people who graduated, do not get their MBAs right after. They're able to just go right into working for whatever company, whatever industry. And they'll normally wait until the company, they'll get to a point where the company will pay for them to go get their MBA.
You know, I've seen that a lot. Now that I'm thinking back to when I was in graduate school, that was not unusual, even at University of Chicago. I was a different place. That people were, after a year or two of work, coming back for the MBA and perhaps having it paid for by the company. But I think mostly just because having that real world experience, which you're already getting doing internships and all the different experiences at Ross, but having that experience, I think, was important to a lot of the MBA programs.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like for me, I don't necessarily, I mean, I'm a freshman, so I haven't really looked into going to grad school at all. But that'd be crazy. That'd be crazy.
But isn't that the U of M way? You're always looking like so far ahead.
To go far ahead. It is nice though. It is nice that as like, for example, next year, if I do recruit investment banking and I would be recruiting right now in a year from now. And if I would secure an internship for my junior year, then you feel more set because you don't have anything else to worry about but school. You have no more recruiting to do. You have your internship set. So that is the nice part, is that you don't have to worry about it anymore. So once that's it, you're done. And that is nice. It is nice, but it is stressful because it's like you're a kid and you're supposed to be out having fun and being social, but you're going to
and you know, you've got ambassadorship, you've got an internship with Bridgeline, you've got classes. I think you're also teaching dance. Am I right?
Yes, I do teach dance classes.
It's a lot. What is the work school life balance in general? And maybe, you know, for you, it might be a little bit more intense doing.
Yeah, it's definitely a
and club. I forgot that, and possibly frat. Okay.
Yes, so yeah, the club scene didn't work out for me this semester. We'll see what happens next semester. But yeah, so I do have a position in my fraternity right now. It's pretty. I do fundraising. So I'm one of the chairs for fundraising for them. But I think you really need to, the balance is important. The balance is important. I think first semester, I didn't really have as much of a balance just because I was doing my fraternity things and I was trying to recruit for an internship for this summer. So I was really focused on all those, trying to balance those different events and calls and things that I needed to do. I still obviously had a social scene, but it wasn't as big as, if you see like the Greek life at Michigan is really big. I'm not in Greek life, but I have a lot of friends who are. And right, actually this weekend we have something called Winterfest coming up, which is where the fraternities, not the professional fraternities, the like Greek life, the social fraternities play like hockey. They have like different teams. They like play hockey against each other in like the mud and people party on the weekends.
Sounds
So
great.
yeah, the college life. It is important finding the balance, because I think that especially with Ross, you had that mindset where you're like, I always have to be doing something. And I come from a very, you've met my dad. He's very work, work, work. So I come from that type of family. So that probably doesn't help me.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I think this is amazing. So, what else at University of Michigan should we know before we wrap it up that maybe we didn't cover?
I think that, I mean, we didn't really talk much about like the recruitment, but I guess I guess it'd be interesting to hear your perspective of, seeing, for example, like me as a freshman looking at the recruitment process and going
Oh my
potentially
God.
into investment banking. What comes to your mind with that? What are recommendations you would give to people who are my age who are looking?
Well,
Because
I have to admit that I'm very much overwhelmed and incredibly impressed with everything that's going on over at Ross. And I know that every school is not like that. Almost no schools are like that. But being able to look a seasoned exec in the eye, articulate a value and a goal succinctly, and follow up in a super professional way, the way that you do it, is something that I think is actually rare. Even, at any level or at any age, it's difficult to do. And the number of times that I can tell that you have to prep and do those types of activities to a club, to a frat, to an internship, as an ambassador, coaching other people to do it, which is the best way to learn is to teach, is probably at a level of skills that I never saw when I was in undergrad for sure, or even in graduate school, really. So that is huge. And as an employer, to be able to see that confidence and the clarity of thinking makes the whole interview very short. It's like, okay, this is great. We both know what we want to do here. Let's get started. Writing is an important skill. Maybe it'll become less important now that we have computers that write for us and nobody knows how to read anyways, but
Oh gosh. Oh gosh.
you're a good writer, and I'm hopeful that University of Michigan is continuing to push for that, because having a clean resume, and you've had to create multiple resumes now throughout the U of M experience, is going to be big. Your last position at a company is often determined by your first position. Obviously, you can prove yourself in advance, but when you start off on the right foot and with the right first impressions, then all of the opportunities are there for you to make or break, but at least they're there. So that first impression, wearing the kick-ass suit, having a rocking resume, showing confidence and clarity and communication sets it all in the right direction. So, kudos.
Amazing. Thank you, Ori.
Thank you both so much. I know this is a little a different topic than we would normally cover. We've had John and Ari on here talking deep AI, highly technical topics, but it is really refreshing to have you both on here and talk a little bit about Sammy, your experience with university life, and then Ari, comparing that to what people can expect in the workforce. So, thank you both for taking the time to dive into all of this. And I wanted to thank everyone who tuned in to listen, and we will see you guys next time.